Today, my dear faithful, is the glorious feast of the purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The epistle is taken from the book of Malachias, chapter 3. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I send my angel, and he shall prepare the way before my face. And presently the Lord whom you seek, and the angel of the testament whom you desire, shall come to his temple. Behold, he cometh, saith the Lord of hosts. And who shall be able to think of the day of his coming? And who shall stand to see him? For he is like a refining fire, and like the fuller's herb. And he shall sit refining and cleansing the silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and shall refine them as gold and as silver. And they shall offer sacrifices to the Lord in justice. And the sacrifice of Judah and of Jerusalem shall please the Lord, as in the days of old, and the ancient years, saith the Lord Almighty. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2. At that time, after the days of Mary's purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they carried Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male opening the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according as it is written in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man at Jerusalem named Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was in him, and he had received an answer from the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when his parents brought in the child Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he also took him into his arms, and blessed God, and said, Now thou dost dismiss thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word in peace, because my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to the revelation of the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. A light to the revelation of the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's Gospel, my dear faithful, tells the story of the fourth joyful mystery of the Rosary, the Presentation, as well as today's feast day, the Purification. These both feasts are both tied directly together because the Holy Family were following the law of the Jews to the letter. You see, the law commands the firstborn son of a family to be offered to God the Father, then bought back from the Most High, while at the same time, a mother is called to be purified after she has a child. And so, as today's Gospel tells the story, our Blessed Mother went to the temple to be purified, while the Son of God, the little Christ child, was carried to be presented to his Eternal Father. And so Mary submitted herself to the purification ceremony, and right after, she joined with Joseph to hand their little babe into the hands of the priest. The priest, who had probably performed that ritual hundreds of times before, simply takes the Christ child, offers him to God Almighty, then returns the baby back to his mother, as he receives the 5 shekels that Joseph symbolically buys back their child with. This was probably just another humdrum day for that priest, but for Our Lady, in her immaculate heart, she knew what was really happening. The Son of God was at that moment offering himself through the hands of the priest to God the Father. Right before her, Mary beheld the Sacred Heart make another act of love to his Eternal Father. And God the Father, unseen by anyone there, treasured this act of devotion and returned love for love. Now, that is a very simple thing. That is what fathers and sons, families in general, have done for centuries, returning love for love. But of course, this is the Trinity. Their love for one another is eternal bliss itself. But on the day of the presentation, the priest offering the Christ child to the Eternal Father was all unaware of the tremendous action he was performing and continues to go on about his duties, probably turning to the next family and receiving their child to perform that same ritual. The Blessed Mother, though, receives the Christ child into her arms with unutterable joy and turns to leave with Saint Joseph, only to meet an elderly man whom we know as Saint Simeon. While all others, aside from the Holy Family, are unaware of the God-man in their midst, this elderly man approaches with his eyes firmly fixed on their child, and his face is filled with wonder and awe. Our Lady immediately recognizes a fellow faithful soul who has received the gospel, the good word, that here, this little boy, only 40 days old, is the Savior of all mankind. With renewed joy, Mary gives her son to Saint Simeon, then marvels as he prays aloud, "Now thou dost dismiss thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word and peace, because my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to the revelation of the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Today's gospel ends right there, though there is a bit more recorded in sacred scripture, for Saint Simeon forewarns Our Lady of the sword that will pierce her heart. But that is not where Holy Mother Church draws our eyes today. Instead, her focus is on those words of Saint Simeon, a light to the revelation of the Gentiles. Saint Simeon's prophecy compares the Messiah to a light. But the Church does not stop there, for she also gives us today's epistle from the prophet Malachias, who says our Savior is like a refining fire who purifies and refines souls as gold and as silver is refined. Light and flame are both symbols of our Redeemer. With that in mind, the Church has her priest bless the candles today that will be used at her altar throughout the year, and then invites all those who attend to join in a procession with those same blessed candles, now lit with fire. Throughout the blessing of candles, the priest prays again and again that just like these candles will be lit aflame, so may we be lit aflame with grace, love for God, and ultimately the joy of heaven. And all three of these will be accomplished through Jesus Christ, who is the light Saint Simeon spoke of that drives away the darkness of doubt and despair, the eternal flame Saint Malachias prophesied, who burns with charity for God and man, the Sacred Heart pouring forth grace and salvation. Holy Mother Church's great work in this world is to provide more and more souls with that light of faith and the flame of love for God in their hearts. Thanks be to God, we have these gifts, and that is what the lit candle represents. We are the candles, and the flame represents our grace, our faith, our burning love for Christ, and as well, His presence within us by grace. After the blessing of these candles, the Church bids us then to process outside with those candles now lit, for we, with the light of faith and flame of charity, are to go out into this cold world of ours, just like Our Lady, Saint Joseph, and Saint Simeon did. When our Lord was presented in the temple 2,000 years ago, only those few knew that tremendous truth that this little baby was the Messiah. What joy they had It changed everything in their lives. For the Messiah is born. He is right here. Salvation is at hand. While most everyone else went about their day as usual, these few souls were overjoyed because their minds were lit by the faith and their hearts were aflame with charity. They were thus filled with Christ. That, my dear faithful, is what Holy Mother Church encourages us to do, as symbolized by that procession of candles. In many ways, our world is dark and cold, and our Savior is the light that drives away that darkness and the flame that fills it with warmth. However, we should not ever rest content with having that little fire that we have. For as today's epistle explains, our Lord is not just a flame, but a refining flame. He does not dwell in our souls by grace simply to leave things as they are. No, our Savior came on earth to redeem mankind, to open the gates of heaven, and to bring as many souls into that eternal bliss as possible. But to enter into heaven, to stand before the eternal Father and behold his infinite perfection, we must be perfect, we must be spotless, we must be saints. Now, this doesn't mean we have to go out and preach the gospel to every man and woman, for that is not what the Holy Family did. Saint Joseph and Our Lady went about their days as ordinary people, but they made the ordinary actions extraordinary with their ever-increasing love for God that lit their hearts. They practiced every virtue perfectly, and they grew in their perfection every day with those same humdrum jobs that they had, cutting wood, preparing the food, gathering water, amongst hundreds of others. Whatever their task, their faith enlightened them. This is for the Messiah, for God Almighty, for the salvation of souls. And they strove always to do it better and better, with greater faith, with more and more love for God and for souls. That includes a lot of different virtues. But with that knowledge, there was one virtue that was ever present in the Holy Family's hearts that is often overlooked, and that is the virtue of cheerfulness. Cheerfulness is often overlooked because, as St. Francis de Sales says, everyone is eager to possess those brilliant, almost dazzling virtues which cluster around the summit of the cross. St. Francis was talking about how we all naturally wish we had the great, powerful virtues like magnanimity that handles great acts of charity, or munificence in donating to others, or fortitude that embraces even martyrdom. We would like to be known as people with these great virtues, but St. Francis de Sales explains, we long for these great accomplishments, oftentimes so we can be seen from afar and admired. But then this great saint points out the virtues easily ignored. Very few are anxious to gather those which, like wild thyme, grow at the foot of that tree of life and under its shade. Yet these are often the most hardy and give out the sweetest perfume, being watered with the precious blood of the Savior, whose first lesson to his disciples was, "Learn of me, because I am meek and humble of heart." The lowly virtues St. Francis de Sales was speaking of were humility, meekness, cheerfulness, everyday ones like this. They seem so little, so small and unimportant, ordinary, humdrum virtues. Again, one of these little virtues is cheerfulness. And a good friend of St. Francis de Sales, he actually wrote a book called The Spirit of St. Francis de Sales, where many of the saint's conversations were recorded. And that cheerfulness, that virtue, is mentioned repeatedly throughout. It does not have its own chapter, but it is mentioned in many others. St. Francis encouraged us to meet rebuffs with a cheerful courage, to practice cheerful poverty, or to obey promptly, frankly, and cheerfully. He even mentions to submit ourselves simply and cheerfully to the will of God in the failure of undertakings which concern God's glory. Cheerfulness, as St. Francis de Sales teaches, should be our constant companion then. In fact, cheerfulness should be the little flame that others see, which people recognize us by, that we are indeed Catholic. Like Our Lady, St. Joseph, and St. Simeon, who rejoice at the knowledge that the Savior was here by their side, so we should share in this joy that the Savior dwells within us by sanctifying grace. Our Messiah was born. He died on the cross for us. He opened heaven, and it is waiting there to receive us. What excuse do we have not to be joyful, not to be cheerful amidst our lives? Of course, we always must strive to grow in virtue, to earn our place in heaven by striving for perfection. But as we go about this great work of our lives, never forget that the Savior, the God-man himself, dwells in our hearts. He is right here, and that knowledge should make us cheerful, should be joyful amidst this, again, cold, dark world we live in. It is, again, cold and dark, but we have the light of the one true faith, and the flame of grace and charity burns in our hearts. It does not matter what comes upon us, what temptations we face, what cross we have to bear. For if Christ is with us, then all is well. All is as it should be. Strive, my dear faithful, to always grow in virtue, to draw closer and closer to our Savior. And help yourself in doing so by keeping in mind your goal, the eternal bliss that waits for you. For that is something to be cheerful about. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.